16th chapter is the description of the famous, the horrifying seven last plagues. These plagues that are going to be poured out are not only by divine fiat, as I've explained several times, they are also very likely partially brought about by political, environmental, military, and other causal factors by man himself. And the seven last plagues depict a scene of virtually the destruction of the entirety of the earth as we know it today. The waters of the earth turning to blood, human beings with huge boils and sores on their bodies. It's absolutely a Holocaust-like figure. It is an unimaginable-like scene that you read in the 16th chapter of Revelation. But it's interesting when you see the comment of even righteous, holy, spiritual angels about the judgments of God. Let's notice that. Last time I had shown you how it says in verse 3, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living being, creature, or soul died in the sea. Now, that's a gigantic, awesome, incredible statement to think that everything from krill and plankton to the great whales dies, that every living creature dies in the sea. Is that meaning a portion of one sea, the eastern Mediterranean? Does it mean all the oceans of the earth? It appears to mean the latter. It appears to mean all life. Is that possible, and life exists on the earth for more than a very short period of time? Well, no, absolutely not, because the earth would be uninhabitable. People simply would die. A great deal of our oxygen comes not only from living green things, but from diatoms in the sea. And without the oceans to purify the pollutants from the bays, rivers, and estuaries flowing into it, and without the oceans to create the weather patterns that we enjoy in the world would simply become uninhabitable. It says, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because you have judged thus. Now listen to what these angels say in the vision that John saw and heard. Verse 6, For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Now, think about it for a minute. You ever been to some of the great museums in Europe? France, Spain, Germany, Italy? If you've ever been to some of them, including the Louvre, including the British Museum, one of the greatest in all of the world, El Escorial in Madrid, so many of the great museums and art galleries, you probably know that art, as we know it today, began with the church. That literature, education, art, in the pre-Renaissance period, was pretty much confined to the church, that this was the place where the repository of knowledge and where people who would be monastic in nature would have the time necessary and the tools and the materials to endlessly copy some of the laborious script and so on of the sacred documents, and they come down to us in the figure of various codices and polyglots and diaglots and so on today. But also the art of the period primarily concerned itself with religious subjects. But you look in some of these great museums, and here are pictures, and they're too horrifying for me to describe over the air in great detail, but they are pictures of actual martyrdom underway, which includes things that boggle the mind, just boggle the mind, and they are graphic, and they are realistic, and one cannot believe what one is seeing with one's eyes. The book called Fox's Book of Martyrs reads almost like a couple of chapters out of the gas chamber at Auschwitz. It's absolutely unbelievable. Now, recently, depending upon when you hear this radio program, you have seen on national television a documentary about Auschwitz. A lady who was an inmate and who visited there, who talked about going by the one place where they kept people 4 or 5 days a week and more without food, without water, absolutely naked, waiting for one thing to be ushered into the gas chamber and to die. Now, I don't like to dwell on those things because I tend to break up. I don't last very long. I have my own personal library, so many different books, Hitler's Ovens, The Nazis Will Try It Again, The Germans Go Underground, Fire in the Ashes by Theodore White, so many books. The New Germany and the Old Nazis, the Nazis, you know, on and on and on, the neo-Nazis in Germany, and even some of the old-line parties that try to outright each other, and what might happen in the case of a screeching turn to the right in European nations as a result of the impoverishment of their masses, social unrest and disorder, and the rise of despotism, the rise of a new militarism in Europe, and what is going to happen all over again. But being a young teenager, growing up during the time of World War II, and being a Korean War veteran, seeing those newsreels by the dozens of hours, having my own books and pictures and really studying that period of time, I mean, it is just, it's beyond description. There is no way you can communicate to another human being the horrors that were perpetrated upon human beings who had been guilty of no crime except belonging to the wrong race. Now, when I read these scriptures in the Bible, it says to me, God doesn't believe in recidivism. It says to me, God does not believe in the rights of criminals. It says to me that God does not believe in the rights of mass murderers, rapists, arsonists, thugs. He does not believe in the rights of killers, of the gassers and stranglers of innocent human beings. Here are angels, here are heavenly, angelic voices singing, if you can believe this, in praise to God, saying how great is God, how righteous is God, how holy is God, because God is giving them blood to drink because they've shed the blood of prophets. Now today, God's government is not being administered on this earth. The government of God, the kingdom of God, is a government that has the power because it has the perfect x-ray-like vision right down inside the heads and hearts of humankind to judge the heart instead of just the deeds and the action by maybe bought or purchased witnesses, so that God's justice and God's government is absolutely perfect. And so the eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth is going to be put back in God's government. When somebody kills, they get killed. It's just that simple. When somebody kicks somebody's teeth out, they're held down, their teeth are kicked out. It's just that simple. There is no recidivism in the kingdom of God. But isn't it interesting that you find angels praising the righteousness of God for giving those who murdered exactly what they got? You know, it's no wonder Jesus told Christians to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Talk to a rape victim or her mother and see the way they feel about it. Talk to people who have lost loved ones, like a family here in Tyler who lost an 11-year-old daughter whose nude body was found decomposing in a ditch. See how they feel about criminal justice.